This is RSVNB Update, episode 298, recorded Friday, March 4th, 2011. Cube Processing Assembly Language. Hello, everybody. Welcome back once again. If you're just joining us for the first time, my name is Shane, I guess, unless anybody else has changed my name, but probably not. This week, King Kola is here.
Hello.
And Trekkie has decided to tag along as usual, like he normally does when Kola comes on the show, just because we wanted his altering view on the quest, because he said he hated it.
I didn't completely hate the quest. I disliked it.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a minute, so we're going to take you guys through this week's RuneScape updates, and then the return of the poll feature, which I was very happy when I saw this, but we'll talk about that after as well. So, anyways, Elemental Workshop Part 4.
Shane's favorite quest.
No, my favorite quest is still Enlightened Journey.
That's a little regicide. Okie dokie. Oh, right, because of Picard. That's right.
Yes. So requirements on this one are 39 runecrafting, 39 thieving, 40 defense, 41 crafting, and 42 smithing. Then, of course, Elemental Workshop Part 3. Now, before we get too far into this, I think it should be worth noting that in the FAQ about this update, the developer said that there will be another between 3 and 5 quests in this series before it's all said and done.
Right, that makes sense, because we still have a bunch of Law of Blood and Soul Runes,
yeah.
Soul Armor to make.
Exactly. So, basically, the idea is after this quest, you need to go operate the Prime Bar machine to get more Prime Bars for what you're going to be making this time round. So, this one deals with Cosmic and Chaos, with future hints towards other things like nature and astral, and then another door that you can open, which will go further, which of course will bring in things like blood and soul and that kind of thing. So, definitely not done. So, this quest pretty much just involves two puzzles. The first puzzle, after you make your prime bars, is to get the cosmic machine working, and that's like a, I don't know, how would you describe that puzzle, Trekkie?
Well, you remember, I can't remember which quest it was. It was like the very, very long one with all the lights when we get access to the death altar.
Morning's End Part 2.
Yeah, it sounded like, it was kind of like that, how I felt about it. Because I really liked the whole Pillar of Light thing, because for me, it reminded me of the old Magic School Bus episode where they were transferred into light and there was like a light pinball machine.
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. I loved Magic School Bus.
And now everybody who grew up with Magic School Bus will be like, oh my God, I completely forgot. But that was really cool. You know, I really liked that. What I hated, though, as a whole, was the quest reward, I thought was really pathetic.
Are you talking about Morning's End Part 2 or this quest?
This one.
Okay, the reward thing for after.
Okay.
Let's just... the cosmic machine first. Basically, with that one, you have these little pillar things. It starts 2x2, then 3x3, then 4x4. So, as we know, 2x2 is 4 pillars, 3x3 is 9, and 4x4 is 16. And the goal is to let the rune energies pass through without interfering with a different type of rune energy. And then once you successfully pass through, you move on to the next stage of the puzzle, and then the next stage, and then the next stage, which activates the cosmic machine and the little robot guy.
Which was called Da Vinci, or something like that.
Davi.
Yeah. Davida.
You think it's like that because of Da Vinci, or?
Well, I think it might be sort of more of an Easter egg of Da Vinci, because Da Vinci was known to create some crazy machines in his day.
Yeah, remember how he would have created that first... airplane thing, but it never got off the ground, but it was proven in somewhere that it would have worked.
Yeah, mostly because human arm. I believe for the human, the bat one that he created, wasn't really designed for strength of human arms. But that's just me. So go on with the chaos area. Your favorite part, Shane.
Yeah. So after you after you get the cosmic machine working, the little Davi guy goes into the chaos area, and the whole objective here is to get a blank slab and then repair it. So, because the astral slab needs to be repaired, so you need to move things over to that slab to repair it, because there's something up there you need. Because your whole objective here is to get into the chaos part to activate the chaos machine. Now, the way they do this is, at first, it didn't seem, it didn't dawn on me at first, but it is really a good way of doing this when you think about it. Because they market this little machine you use as the CPU, which is what did they call it during the quest? CPU equals
I can't remember.
CPU cube parsing utility.
Right. Yeah, because you have to put a cube and an instruction in there. So basically, let's say you want to move to the mind one and get what's on the mind conveyor belt. So you would put in get mind, and then the little thing would move to the get thing, move to the mind area, grab it, and then wait for the next instruction, which might be, say, put nature or put body. And then you could do the same kind of thing in order to get off to the eventually to the chaos slab, which will operate the chaos machine. But granted, they say CPU and RAM and everything, but you know it's not intentional, but you know, looking at this, this is an excellent way of teaching assembly language programming. So, basically, for everybody out there who doesn't know what this is, assembly language programming is as low as you can go in terms of programming without messing with the actual hardware. So, when you write something in C or Java, it gets compiled down into bytecode or object code in the case of C. And then that itself interfaces with the CPU with these instructions. Mm-hmm. So in assembly language programming, you actually physically write these instructions down. And there's a whole bunch of other kind of instructions that you can get with any CPU. Like you might have add or multiply or subtract. In this case, we have a fairly limited instruction set, put, get, operate, and break. So, and then of course you have your operands that you can put in. So essentially this is teaching people how to do assembly language programming.
Well, go back to like back in the olden days before most of us were even born. This was basically how computers were working. Like look at Mac and what was the IBM computer called? I can't remember what it was called.
I don't know, but what you would do back in the old days is you would have a punch card, and you would modify this card to have those kind of instructions on it. Then when you put it in the computer, it would run it. So essentially, this is they're teaching people about the basics of how a computer used to work. But, you know, they didn't really mention that much, which is kind of too bad. So, I don't know. I quite like that aspect of it. So.
I thought it was kind of strange how they decided to put, you know, computers and programming into the Elemental Workshop series just out of nowhere, because I don't think there was any mention of it in the previous three. I don't remember when I did it that there was anything like that. But I thought it was kind of neat that they put it in, you know, just subtly, because the people that would know it would say, oh, that's kind of cool. And the people that do understand what it actually was, it's quite a neat little, you know, tell.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, I never thought of teaching assembly language programming like this.
Yeah.
Shane, you don't plan on teaching, period.
No, I've taught people programming before.
Mm-hmm. So, over at MSN doesn't count.
Well, I've written things about it.
Okay.
So, you know, but back to that, it is a pretty advanced kind of technology for this kind of quest thing like that. So I don't know.
It could be. Well, what I'm also considering also is sort of a more like recovering your old lost technology. Like sort of like, you know, in the past during the Roman days, technology was pretty advanced, and then we hit the Dark Ages, and it took us over a very long time to recover. And I think this is kind of like the same thing, is that we had the technology of doing all the CPU stuff way back then and make robots that could do our bidding. It's just that we lost it after when they discovered essence, pure essences, and decided to go the magic route instead of the technology route.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's kind of like discovering an old civilization, you know, and searching through the ruins and looking at what kind of technology they had. Like looking through, like, say, an Egyptian tomb or a Mayan, you know, how looking at their pictographs and how they viewed astronomy, which is amazing because they didn't have telescopes. And, you know, it's kind of like looking at an old civilization and finding out new things that you would never find before, that the world today has forgotten.
Yeah, I like that kind of thing. And maybe, yeah, that's a good point. That's probably what they're trying to do with this quest, because if you think about it, it's such a contained quest. The first quest, Elemental Workshop Part 1, is one of the first quests that most new members do and everything. Even Part 2, so.
Even I did. Pretty fast. But, going on that, I think it's also, you know, it's a throwback to the old form of programming. Like, most kids these days playing RuneScape, I hate to use the first phrase, kids these days, but kids these days playing RuneScape, they might not remember, you know, what computers used to be before, say, Windows XP.
Or,
so, it's kind of showing them what...
Or they're in the unfortunate position that they view programming as in opening Visual Studio and using the GUI designer and attaching some logic to a button and telling it to put its output somewhere. You know, that's not programming. This is programming, what's in this quest.
So in a sense, it's kind of like saying, gee, this is an ancient civilization known as the 1970s. <You know? laughs> People have forgotten about that, you know?
Yeah,
isn't
you know,
it kind of basic?
I wasn't around in the 1970s, but what they used to do for that thing was the punch cards, and you would have your output. It would come out on a piece of paper, and you know if there was a problem with it, you would have to completely start over and manually find out where you screwed up on your punch card inserting the program. So.
Yeah, my dad told me all about the punch card computers. Apparently, he and another group member in that company, they had one downtown, and of course it was the one that filled the entire room, you know. So
the one that does super size computer with the steering wheel attached to it.
Yeah, so he's mind boggled at how far technology has come with, you know, LCD TVs and laptops and everything like that.
Well, you know, all you have to do is...
a lifetime ago, it was very, very limited, just like this is. So it makes me wonder how much further they're going to progress into the quest series. Like,
really,
are they going to keep getting
more quests?
Yeah. Are they going to get more complicated? Is it going to get more difficult? Maybe they've done that so far. It's hard to tell because the first one was really easy.
This quest was easier than the third one. The third one had some very complex puzzles with the body and stuff. That one took a long time to do.
Mm. Yes. I remember that, actually.
I don't, but it's been a while anyway for me. But
only less than a year after May 2010 or something.
25th.
Okay. So, yeah, overall, I like this quest to definitely go up there with one of my favorites. So, interesting to see where they're going. Because, you know, they do have other doors and everything. So, it's a question of how are these runes going to... How is magic going to tie into this intelligence that's here, you know? The guy doesn't seem very intelligent right now, but you never know. So, anyways... Mm.
Republic meatbags.
I think the one thing that I really like about this quest series is it's just you and the machines. You know, there's no talking. There's no random characters. There's no anyone else.
And you
can
don't
just
have to run around
there
and get
just
things.
You're just there by yourself and doing things. That's what I actually really liked about it, because going through all the inane talking and all that stuff with some of the other quests, it's a nice change to just go and do something on your own, and I think it provides a good set of quests for that too, especially as long as you don't go on like the first day and then find everyone else there.
I think it's an instanced area. I'm not sure. I think anything below the
Because
once you go down, puzzles, I think it's instanced.
Yeah, because the puzzles, you can't have other people going in there because it just screws everybody up. So I'm thinking the bottom will probably be instanced. The top one, well, the top floor are always like that. Yeah, I think after, like, once you go into the prime bar area, you're by yourself.
Oh, really? See, I didn't even realize that. I just figured I was the only one there doing it, which looked like it was probably true anyways.
Also, now there's the whole line of cosmic and chaos equipment that you can wear for those defense bonuses. I didn't look into them, but I assume everybody will be wanting to upgrade from their elemental or mind or body shield
really.
To chaos.
I don't think they give like extra bonuses. Like, I took a look on the full cosmic one. All it is just it gives you a rough, if you wear the whole thing, roughly plus 40 protection defense against summoning, so against familiars. While the only other thing was cosmic boots, chaos boots, which gave plus 4 magic defense. And you know, it. I don't understand why they really need somebody to do that for familiars. I mean, they're not really. Unless you go, well, maybe with the new dungeons, they could be, but no one's going to go in there with full chaos, cosmic armor in there, anyway. It's just a waste of time. And
which dungeons are you talking about?
I'm talking about like the wilderness or something.
Oh, okay.
If they decided to bring
familiars
or something like that.
The set itself isn't practical to wear for combat.
I mean, they could just wear black dragon hide, couldn't they? to get the same thing. I mean, you could just. I don't see why you'd need to wear it because it is summoning and a lot of other things too, you know? So maybe if you're a really, really low level, but then again, what would you need to protect against summoning and magic when you're a low level member? Mm-hmm. It's hard to know, you know?
And but it looks pretty nice if you're wearing it as an outfit because you're completely yellow. It looks really pretty nice, and they actually commented that if you wore the chaos boots with full bronze armor, which I doubt anybody here would wear it anyway, it makes it like really full bronze. Your boots are very bronze-like color, and so they really matches your outfit. But you know, I don't see people really wearing this. And you know, Law of Blood and Soul comes out, or when they come out, I just don't think they're gonna do very much. Like maybe the soul one would be like, you know, I can steal people's soul or something like that, but we'll see.
Alrighty. So the official rewards from this are 9,000 crafting XP, 7,500 rune crafting XP, ability to make elemental, cosmic, and chaos, of course, and 2 quest points.
Hey, 2 quest points.
I know that 2 quest points, that's pretty good for this, this quest, considering the last one was 1 quest point.
And considering the requirements, too, you know, they're low 40s, high 30s. I mean, that's pretty low, so the 2 quest points for that is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Actually, what I also remember is that there was a bug on its release where it actually gave you only 1 quest point, and they fixed it the next day or something similar, or soon after. So, yeah, so everybody get 1, you actually get 2 in the end. Okay.
Which is pretty cool.
So,
alrighty.
Shane. So
that's
out of
Elemental
5, Shane.
Workshop Part 4, and yeah, out of 5, I'm going to go 4. I only give my 5s for game-changing updates.
I could give it a 3. I just can't get myself around the rewards. Rewards just seem so bad.
Yeah, I'll give it a 3.5, but the actual armor could be a bit better, I think. But overall, I think they're fun quests to do. And looking from it in my point, I think they're kind of cool. But 3.5.
And then it's a little Easter egg with the Magic School Bus episode.
That was an Easter egg a long time ago with Morning Zen Part 2. Yes, Morning Zen Part 2.
Nah, it's not the same thing.
Okay, so tweaks and fixes for this week. The Dual Arena Challenge now has a previous option for your previous option, so you press that and it'll set it up however it was. I say it's quick for a, or handy for a quick rematch. Interface has also been tweaked to warn players of options changing at the last minute, similar to how the trade interface screen works.
Cool.
Also, the Asai salesman at Musa Point has packed up his stall and gone back to the rainforest. Also, his Asai bowls have been magically returned to him. For anybody who doesn't know, the Asai bowls were a jungle fruit that healed 50 life points. And the idea was that you just go there, buy the bowl for 1 GP each. It was kind of like a just... I don't exactly know why it was there, but it was just kind of to... I guess, introduce people to a different form of a culture.
Where was this exactly?
Musa Point, just across right, from the banana plantation there.
Okay.
There was a guy you could buy them from.
So how much, do you know how much they healed?
I said 50 life points.
50 life points for 1 GP.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's actually not as bad as you may think. Okay.
Also, now this is pretty hideous. The lobby screen has been updated to match the new stylings of the login screen.
Really? You think it's hideous?
I do. It's once again, a matter of inconsistency with what you see when you are waiting to play and what you see when you log in. It looks nothing like it. And, you know, it just doesn't flow nicely. Like, it works in terms of what it's supposed to do, but it could be nicer and more consistent, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. When I was first logging into RS after they did that, I was taken aback and was like, it didn't look right to me either. It looked, I don't know, like it looked more metallic.
Yeah, it was well, like, impression. That was the old one. I don't know what you'd call this one.
Super metallic.
Okay.
Okay. So,
and not much in the release notes this week except for the fact that the title music has been changed to Born to Do This rather than, you know, the traditional RuneScape opening music. And, you know, I'm not sure why they would do that, because the modified version of the RuneScape opening music, the new one, is perfectly fine.
Maybe they
How
just
many
want
times
to...
have they remixed it now?
I don't know, but this new one's the best. I don't see why they're changing it.
Well, maybe they're just changing it for a bit. Who knows?
A bit?
No, for a bit. I'm Canadian. Okay. Get over it.
I thought you said a bet. I was like, I wonder who bet.
No, I don't know. I haven't heard it yet. I'll have to listen to it one time.
To be honest, I never listened to it anyway.
I can pull that up for you guys right now if you'd like.
I'll go for it. That sounds good.
Actually, I don't know if that's a good idea. It's let's not, and let's just tell people to go to runescape.com and press the thing, because I'm having some problems loading it here on OS 10.
I can try and do it if you like.
No, that's okay, because then it can't get patched through as easily, so just forget it.
Okay.
Behind the scenes, March now. Elemental Workshop Part 4, done. Next up, supposedly, is the Artisan's Workshop, which is the smithing upgrade that's been long in the works, so... What'd you guys read into this?
Huh. Well, they're making it sound like a smithing guild without it actually being a smithing guild. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with it.
How'd you get that?
Well, they're not calling it a smithing guild. They're calling it an artisan's workshop.
Oh, okay. I see.
So, I don't know. And it seems like when they're saying... The way that they describe it, it seems like you have to do something before getting it.
This is what it says on the RS website. Dwarves are ever in need of new cart tracks to make repairs and expand their network, so although it aimed at level 1 to 30 smithing, everyone is free to lend a hand. And where's the other part? There's also constant demand for Dwarven burial armor decoration, which is taught through the workshop walls, which should prove useful for anyone between from levels 30 to 70 smithing. And also, I think there's one little part about they can... level 70 plus can make ceremonial swords and help repair cannons. So it does sound like a war guild, but I'm wondering if it's one of those like team building type guilds.
It better not be. They already got that. It's called the Blast Furnace. I don't know anybody who uses that thing.
Lance, I wonder if maybe there's just going to be like a short little quest that happens before this. It'll be interesting to see what they come up with, though.
Yeah, maybe. I think if they're going to do this, probably end up being in Falador. Since the members have more things to do, it probably ends up being Falador in the Dwarven Mines. That's what I'm
considering.
You're by the
right Mining now. Guild, it says.
So it's definitely going to be in that area.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will solve the problem with smithing. The problem is that it's not useful right now. Like, back in the olden days, you could get 99 smithing and make a profit and sell rune kites and everything. But now there's really not much point to that, because any kind of armor is easier obtained from a drop than somebody player smithing it. What they need is a good piece of armor or something that can only be obtained through smithing like this, you know? And maybe
That's
even some
idea.
Of it should be untradeable so that people are forced to raise their smithing levels.
Plus, we all have to remember back to before 2008, where all you had was rune and dragon armor. You didn't have all these fancy things that you would use instead, you know?
And in effect, that's made smithing useless.
Exactly. It started with barrows, really, and it's gone down from there.
Yeah. Like, it would have been understandable if they would have just left it like that with dragon, so... But I don't know.
Don't Almost get me everything. Wrong. I don't mind that they've put these new armors in, but I think they just have to update this smithing skill to go along with it. I mean, I don't see why you can't make it. You just have to have some new ore or something like that, or new way of obtaining it. That's some sort of dangerous thing, and they could make that into a really cool high level update.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So we ask you this though: like, why don't they have specialty armor that you can only get from trading or smithing? And basically the whole thing is that it, in between that area, so between if your defense level 30, this is the best armor for level 30. You cannot get anywhere else. You can only get it from smithing or from trading.
That's what it should be. That's what smithing should be for.
But, you know, to be honest, I think even if they did that, the price of them would drop so fast that they'd be not profitable within a week.
No, but you can do that by keeping the same kind of drop items and stuff, and just have the drop ones be the special stuff, you know, like with the special moves and everything, but at the same time make the ones that you make just a tiny bit better than that, but also make it so that they're not overly, that people aren't going to want those more than they're going to want the special moves, you know. That's what needs to happen. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see on this.
I actually miss wearing full dragon. I really do. Like, back when I had my 99 strength cape, it was all red, and I put my dragon bed and my dragon plate and legs and shield and my armor, and I look completely red. And now I can't even do that because, you know, barrels is better.
Yeah,
barrels. What do we call it? Bandos armor is better.
Yeah.
But I still say dragon armor looks the best. It's just really useless right now. Not as good, just, I would say.
Also this month, bonus XP weekend. We already know about that. We mentioned that last week. The Ring of Wealth update, they're going to be providing a bit more info about it and telling you when it actually does something.
Bull.
What? You don't think it will?
Bull. Think about it. How long has the Ring of Wealth been out? It's been out for, 5 years or so? Like, 4 or 5 years?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, and, you know, to this day, we still don't really know if it does anything different. Like, some people have said that it doesn't work, that when I took it off, it works, I get more stuff. Someone said, like, oh, I swear by it. And it's just like,
I get more stuff with it off, actually.
And you're just like, it doesn't help.
But they're going to be extending it to Pyramid Plunder, Bork, Barrows, and Kingly Implings. It'll also have a couple of handy teleport options, and we'll have teleport charges add to it, which you'll be able to recharge.
I think they're just trying to make it so it's not perceived as useless. They're wanting people to use it, you know?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of hard to believe. There was some ancient thing in 2004, I think it was written, or maybe 2005, from one of Zamorak's letters about how the Ring of Wealth behaved kind of like two roulette wheels, where if you the Ring of Wealth increases your chances of getting onto the roulette wheel with more rare items. So, be interesting to see how that, if that's actually kind of how the Ring of Wealth works or not. But
well, I'll just say this: I've been killing dust devils forever, and I still haven't gotten a dragon chain with my Ring of Wealth. I wear it every single time I went down there, and I to this day, I still don't have a chain. Hell, I got like so many attack levels down there. It's not funny. Back in the day.
Trolls and Trollheim graphical improvements. Not much to say there, just as it says. And the last update of the month will be a Clockwork Syringe, which is the next pirate quest.
Oh, that's so playing off a Clockwork Orange.
Why?
What's that?
Oh, it's a famous book. You guys should read it if you haven't. Shane wouldn't like it.
Shane doesn't like anything that's not Star Trek related.
No, I just know that he wouldn't like it. But it is a pretty classic book. But yeah, that's probably what it's based off of. It's Jagex. They always do puns like this.
I'm still waiting for my Wookiee.
No. I want to see Captain Picard come back again.
He'll probably die. Because, you know, he'll probably, like, if you're with him, Picard, with, you know, Picard in a new quest, and you're in that balloon, and the sun's shining right into your eye, the sunlight will bounce off his head, of his shiny bald head, and go right into your eye, and you will go blind from his, you know, shiny bald head so fast that you will end up falling down through a mountain, end up falling into a chasm full of water with sharks and tentacles and everything else you can imagine.
Okay.
That sounds like an interesting quest.
Yep.
Like, what? All right. This next thing is going to be a real pain in the rear end if it does get implemented. Voice chat on RuneScape. It's a pull.
Hmm.
The return of the pull system. I'm glad that they didn't get rid of this when they launched the new website design. Mm. So, first question. Do you use a voice chat service when playing RuneScape? 48% yes, 30% no, 22% not now, but I plan to in the future.
Do you, Shane? Regularly?
No. Not really. Mm. But then this next question is kind of really funny because it goes, how often do you use voice chat? 36% say never. 21% most sessions, 17% every session I play, 14% rarely, and 12% once or twice a week. So once again, that doesn't really connect up there.
Well, you know, people always lie.
Yeah, I don't put much faith in these polls.
But you know, like, you know, I swear to God, I bet you the wilderness thing was rigged.
Oh yeah, of course it was. It was planned from the very beginning.
But the thing is that like, with having a voice chat on RS, I just don't think it will really work. You know, I think it'll be more of a clan chat thing.
Yeah,
so like people in your clan. But I think what will happen is that you also may also get people who come in and just start spamming, and you're just
What I'm worried about.
Yeah, the moderation of clan chat is already bad enough the way it is, I think.
Yeah,
but
question.
What did
three.
You think of question five, Shane?
We're getting there. We're getting there. What question three? What service do you use? 36% use Skype, while 35% don't use anything. Then we got Ventrilo, TeamSpeak, and other. And then at the bottom, instant messaging programs. You know, that makes sense. You know, people. I don't think people would want to hear one another yelling at the GE. Could you imagine how loud that would be and how much bandwidth that would take to send that amount of sound?
Oh wow. That would be awful.
Can you imagine how many people will be shouting with you know, will be shouting selling my account? And then you get the, you know, the PS3 fanboy who hates everything that's not considered PS3, and then you have the Xbox fanboy who shouts at everything because they can't, they always do that anyway.
I know, this is what I'm worried about. I know. It's just annoying.
Well, most people would just turn it off, I would think.
I hope so.
I don't think most people even use it very much because, you know, Skype, many people use TeamSpeak, even Trello, Skype, and those are usually much better service and they're more secure.
Yeah, we for anybody who doesn't know, RSVNB has a Mumble server. Mumble is an open source kind of TeamSpeak kind of thing. It's got excellent quality on it. You can find a how to get into Mumble by going to our forums at rsvnb.com/forums and going into the general announcements area and reading the sticky in there regarding voice chat.
That was a mouthful.
I know. Is your voice chat paid for? 52% say no, 35% don't use it, so suffice to say, if this comes out, we won't be paying for it.
Which is as it should be.
Well, you know, if they were to pay for it, it would limit it quite a bit, and maybe you'd actually get people in there who cared about it.
I think
it'd make me wonder if they added in to just pay to play.
Maybe
that'd be interesting, but you know, it pay to play isn't any better in terms of idiots running around than free to play is.
No, it's just idiots that can get their parents to use credit cards. It's hard to know.
And that is why if we raised the price of RuneScape to $15 a month, we would see people who could actually pay this and wouldn't just be people who are spending their lunch money on it.
I'm spending my lunch money on this.
Oh, you are?
Hey.
Okay.
One meal a month.
See, that's what I tell everybody, you know. If you can't afford members, just go without lunch one day. But anyways, Cola, you can take number 5.
All right.
Oh, God.
Do you use your own voice or use voice modulation? Example, using software to sound like Darth Vader. 60% say my voice, 33% say none of the options given, 5% both, and 2%, which probably includes Shane, uses voice modulation to sound like Darth Vader.
That was a bug in the driver way back when that happened.
It was?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it happened to Asa as well a while back.
Yeah, it's a Mac thing.
Yeah.
Why Macs are evil.
Okay, question 6. What do you use voice chat for? Multiple answers. In decreasing order, 46% friends. 35% I don't use it. 32% general chat. 30% clans. Then we go down to dungeoneering, boss hunting, events, activities. PvP, that's pretty low for PvP. Quest, distraction, and diversions, help and support, and fan sites.
I wonder how many people just picked all of them.
Yeah, I don't know.
It seems like a lot of answers.
Well, at least 2,000 people did, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just don't see... We rarely use voice chat over on RS anyway, so... It doesn't affect us at all.
Yeah. So then the big question, would you use it? 49% yes. 40% no. Depend on the cost and features. 11% say no. I said no. Because we got our own voice chat, the Mumble server, which sounds almost as good as Skype.
And, you know, And the other thing is that, you know, the report function on RS is... It hasn't been updated since.
Yeah, the and very how beginning. Would you moderate it with people coming in? As Cole said, clan chat is bad enough.
And also, the other thing is that if someone's yelling at you, you may not even know who's doing it, and you just may just have a terrible time figuring that out. I mean, if one person starts yelling, and one guy's like, just tells him that guy to shut up, and you know, then another guy tells DC to shut up, and all of a sudden, like, all your clan chat is like this full of the speaker icon, and you're just
you just want to bash somebody. Mute everyone then. So
yeah,
kind of like a phaser with a wide beam set to stun to take everyone out.
To be honest, I still really want them to update the report system. Like, I talked to some of our player mod friends, right? Like, you know, Mike and whatnot. And even they said they have actually have an ability to report people and mute people faster. And it's, you know, would be nice to be able to report people faster, because in Soul Wars, all they do is just spam anyway. And, you know, would be nice. Less hassle.
All right.
Okay.
Poll window. Somebody take the last question, please.
Question number 8. Do you use voice chats in other games or platforms, i.e. Xbox Live, instant messaging? 45 people say yes, both RuneScape and other game platforms. 25% say yes, other games platforms, but not RuneScape. 20% no, I do not use voice chat. Quit asking me, dude. 10% no, just RuneScape.
And I think
10% is lying.
Yeah, and of course, since it's a RuneScape poll, you get the inconsistent numbers, right? Question 1, do you use a voice chat service when playing RuneScape? 48% say yes. And question 8, if you use no, just RuneScape, and yes, both RuneScape and other games platforms, that's 55%. Someone's lying.
Yeah, you know, to get any meaningful data out of this thing, they'd have to correlate between user IDs to see which ones were consistent, you know, and then throw out any results that were inconsistent.
Yeah, I would go with the whole standard deviation crap. But,
yeah.
You know.
Alrighty, okay. So that's the last question. That's it for RuneScape updates this week. That was a mouthful.
Mm.
Well, we did talk about behind the scenes. So, anyways. We're going to move on to the questions right now. First one is an audio question. We got 6 of those, actually. So this one is going to be from Earth.
Hello, Shane and... Hi, Clube. Okay, my question this week is... What do you guys think of photobombing? Have you ever photobombed someone? Clube knows what I'm talking about, but you're not allowed to show that picture. I may or may not include an edited version in a reply to the topic. But I'll link you to a place. But yeah. Love, Earth.
Love, what Earth. A, mm, very
what
hippie.
What an awkward question. Well, we discussed what photobombing is.
I want to see this
is.
Picture that he of what he photobombed you.
never sent it to me.
That's too bad. So I wonder what he's talking about then.
Yeah.
Anyways, I think that's I think you shouldn't interfere with people who are having their pictures taken there.
Well, maybe Kula, maybe you should first describe what photobombing is for people who do not know what it is.
Alrighty. Just give me a second.
Why are you wikiing it?
No, of course not. Why would I wiki it when I've got Urban Dictionary? Intentionally posing in other people's photos for a later surprise, usually people making funny faces in the background without the knowledge of the main subjects of the photo. Some people also call this creeping their photos, when they just randomly look at the person taking the picture when they're not supposed to be.
It's like that squirrel that appeared in all those pictures around the Lake Louise area here. That was on the news here last year.
Oh, yeah.
It was? Beats me. Not a clue.
Do you have a link to that picture?
No, I don't.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Oh, poor squirrel. So, Shane, why don't you say if you ever photobomb somebody?
No, I said no. I don't think it's a nice thing to do.
Here's the link. I've got it. That is hilarious. yeah, there's a link to this squirrel picture right there. I think it's funny when it's actually funny, but sometimes it's just awful. Especially when it's supposed to be, like, some serious picture and they're posing really weirdly, and then there's just some guy, like, laughing at the camera in the background. sometimes.
Yeah, that's not nice.
It's funny when they're doing it so seriously and, you know, weird and awkward, and they're like, people should just be natural when they're taking a picture. They don't need to get into all these weird poses and stuff, you know. I wouldn't do it myself, though. It is pretty funny seeing some of the pictures, though.
Okay.
That's just my take.
Trekkie?
I don't think I've ever done it, but if I did it, it's probably because I make fun of, I was like poking around with my friends or something like that. But to total strangers, no. Never did it. Yeah, never did.
Okay. And so there you go, Earth. Next time, include the picture with this or something.
Watch this becomes the most famous thread on our forum.
Well, knowing Earth, he will make it the most famous thread. Anyways, thank you for that. The next one is from a person named Golden White.
Hey guys, it's Golden White here. I was just wondering, what's your least favorite skill? Thanks, and have a good day. Mine, personally, is summoning. I only have 10, and I'm terrible at it. Thanks, and good day.
Okay, Kula, you go first.
I actually don't really have a least favorite skill. What would be my least favorite skill if I had one, though? Maybe smithing? Just because it is useless. Hopefully they update it so it is actually good. Other ones would be ones that are just cash cows.
Cash cows? Construction. Oh, what? What was that, Shane?
Dungeoneering.
I like farming, you say?
No, I said dungeoneering.
I thought you liked farming, Shane. Come on.
No. I didn't say farming. I said dungeoneering.
Oh, sorry. I couldn't hear you whispering properly then.
I actually like dungeoneering. I just wished it wasn't as... I just wish that it was more, you can get your own group together kind of thing. That would be a lot better, but it's really hard to do that regularly.
Yeah, it's so group-oriented, you know, so if you just want to, you know, train by yourself, then it's not...
You train by yourself, you're just asking for trouble.
Yeah.
Let's see. My least favorite? Agility. I think it's a pretty well known.
99 agility.
Yes, I know, but I can't be bothered to keep clicking on the same track, same race course over and over again.
Oh, and if Chief was here, this is the time we would tell him that he quit.
I actually don't like thieving. What is the point of thieving? All we use it for is quests, and it's funny because in every game that includes some sort of thieving option, it's almost useless. I haven't found a game that actually has it really useful, other than just one-shot quest thing, you know?
But
I wouldn't say it's my least favorite one. I think it's just a really point.
I think thieving is actually useful, mostly because some of the doors that you can unlock. And agility is really useful, too, for all the shortcuts you can get. It's just, you know, so tedious. And at least with thieving, you can like trap a stupid paladin and be like, "All right, stay here, don't move."
Or just use pyramid plunder. That's the fastest way to do it. Thieving is actually one of the fastest 99s you can get.
Mm-hmm. True. And if you have the heavy unicorn or the anti poison totem thing, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So me, thieving, Kula, smithing, Trekkie, agility. There you go. Next question is from a fellow named Gnome Thorian, or Gnome Thorian, if we're speaking in terms of Linux.
Dear Shane and King Kula, Gnome Thorian here, and I have two questions this week. First, I was recently hacked, and I was hacked for 110 mil. And I had a question on how you think Jagex should handle situations like this. Like, should they be able to re-roll your account back to previously before you were hacked, or not? And My second question was, what is your favorite sport? Thanks, Gnome Thorin.
So should they roll accounts back if you're hacked? I don't think
no.
so.
No, I mean, it sucks. Bad. Yes, it does. It sucks. And, you know, as we all remember, all three of us remember the Faladorian Massacre, it does suck. But you can't roll back because, you know, let's say you get your friend to quote-unquote hack you and then ask them to roll back. Then all of a sudden you get twice the amount of gold you had before and just do that again and again. And, you know, people may, well, obviously abuse the system. You can't roll it back. I mean, it sucks, but you can't roll it back, you know?
Wouldn't it just be too much work to do it on an individual basis as well, you know? To do it for every single buddy who gets hacked. I mean, think of how many RuneScape players there are. How many people get hacked on a daily basis. I mean...
And it's completely preventable, too. Preventable by making sure you're not installing things that contain malware or keyloggers or anything like that, or entering your password on websites that have fake-looking RuneScape forms, and perhaps the biggest thing is don't have a simple password. Have a password that looks random and it's not a dictionary word, you know, because if, like, there's a whole huge list of passwords that someone could try, and if you do that, you get into one of those accounts. So it's just a matter of keeping a strong password.
I do wonder how many people have their password set as password, though.
Yeah, I know. That's a prime example.
It's the most common password.
Or RuneScape in the case of RuneScape.
Or 123456.
Yeah, there you go. Or
but you know,
just anything
sometimes
that is remotely associated with your name is a bad kind of password, you know. Any kind of thing, like anywhere.
Or your birth date.
Well, also remember, sometimes it may not be them. I mean, sometimes people may have just did, I don't know, did something just while as a guess. I know, but remember, like, I believe, Cool Love, you've been hacked before on RS.
No, I haven't been hacked. I got the password scammed, though. That was when I was really stupid.
I think, Shane, you and I have been hacked before, and to this day, I still don't know how the guy,
Mine happened in 2004, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think mine and yours happened around the same time, too. And I still don't know how I got hacked. I mean, hell, the guy even wrote on, like, back in RSC days, did the whole friend listing. It was like, if you try to trap me again, I will delete all your stuff from RS, from RuneScape 2. I was like, up yours, this is my account.
Yeah. So, that's a little bit on that. So, favorite sports, Trekkie?
Swimming?
Okay. Color?
Swimming.
I'd say hockey. Both to watch and to play, although I can't play worth a damn.
Oh, so you got a lot of, like, black holes in your mouth?
Oh yeah, what? Definitely. I'm not stupid. I'm not stupid enough to be a goaltender. In fact, I really suck at playing goaltender, so they don't let me play goaltender. It works in my favor.
Badminton for me.
Oh, I love Batman.
I do love Batman. It's nice and quick and everything. Yeah.
So. Actually, you know, for a more intense sport, I like volleyball.
I like badminton as well, just to play in the summer. You know, if you get a few people together in a net, always works.
For me, doing volleyball is really it makes me exercise a lot more. Okay.
Alrighty. Next question is from Papiro.
Hey guys, it's Papiro. My questions are on the Elemental Workshop quest released this week. Now that a computer has been introduced to the game, do you think Jagex should expand on computer-related inventions, or should they just keep the game in a medieval aspect? Also, placing a human's mind inside a robot's shell. Do you think it's possible? And do you foresee it in the future? Thanks, and keep up the great work.
Okay, Shane, since you're the lovey-dovey, you answer the first question.
Well,
first
you
part
know,
of the question.
I think we pretty much already answered the first part of it when we were talking about the quest and how they could go with technology and stuff. So I'm just going to skip to the robot part because I feel like we've already talked to that one. So, like, well, would it be possible to create an AI, you know, that's like a human, i.e. Data, since you guys are both familiar with him from Star Trek? So would that be possible in our lifetime? I don't know. Right now, it's a matter of software that would have to be needed. We have the horsepower. The problem is that the horsepower would need an entire server room. So whether or not, like, if you're talking about, could that just go into someone's head? No, not right now. But in the future, 50 years down the line, possibly, you know? Like, I'm sure we could make something. Like, if we had an AI, I'm sure you could attach it to something like that and just have it connected up to a cable or something. But I think in the future it's going to be possible, but not right now. We don't have the compute power to get it onto a single chip.
And also, keep in mind what happened on Jeopardy about a week or so ago. Computers are advancing, and supposedly a rocket scientist just beat it. Congressman just beat it.
Yeah, the Democrat.
We'll link it to you, Shane. We'll link it to on the listing. It'll be fun for people to take a read. But basically, there was a congressman, a Democratic congressman, who went up against Watson and completely demolished it. Beat it really, really well. Yeah.
That's interesting.
We'll link it to you when I find it again.
The thing with the whole Watson thing was that it's all based on natural language processing. Because, you know, as we were discussing earlier, a computer as we know it, or as it was in the past, is just basically an assemblage of logical instructions. It can't tell the difference between a sentence that sounds the same to your ear, but, you know, dependent on the context, it's different. So that's the kind of thing we're on that.
So it couldn't understand sarcasm.
That's right. It doesn't understand sarcasm, which is a good thing in a way, because, you know, I think sarcasm is a waste of time.
Well, yeah, it totally makes the computer great. Totally makes the computer great if it can't understand sarcasm, right?
I know. It's great.
Of course, Shane can't understand sarcasm either, so that's all right.
I know. That's why I say it's great.
Shall we go to the next one?
Yes, Bunny Macaroni.
Dear Shane and Chief Snake, here's my question. If you could make a RuneScape movie, who would you have play the parts in it, and what would the storyline be? Thanks, and love, Bunny Macaroni.
Well, you and I were talking about this last night, the 24 RuneScape kind of thing.
Oh yeah, we're talking about how there's computers in RuneScape and there was Star Trek in RuneScape, so I just took the other thing that Shane likes and have his 24 quest in RuneScape. So it'd be funny if they had like a 24 themed quest in movie in RuneScape, like a little series with Jack Bauer going up against some like dark mage terrorists or something.
I bet you Jack Bauer will be on the show sooner or later. I bet you he will.
Probably.
Okay, so let me ask you this: who would you cast if it was a RS movie? Who would you cast as the main character?
Well, it's hard to know.
Yeah, it's hard to know because we don't know which character we're.
And you can choose your own character profile and what they look like. So. Kind of hard to choose a specific character for yourself, but who would you think would symbolize the typical RuneScape hero?
12-year-old boy with a bad acne problem?
Robin Hood.
Oh, Russell Crowe? You think he would be good?
I don't know.
Awful.
It has to be somebody who's either really, really fat or really, really skinny.
What, your nope. character in RuneScape is really fat or really skinny? I guess muscular. I don't know what you're going for.
Oh, well,
you're supposed to be something you're not, Trekkie.
For me, though, I think that if a good choice for me would be Andy Whitefield. And bless him, and I hope he recovers from his cancer illness. But when he was playing, he was an actor in Spartacus. He was just awesome, and I'm going to miss him being in the show.
Yeah.
Like, he would be a great, reluctant hero type.
I don't know. Like, it's so hard to know because you don't know which character you're casting for. Like, if you were to cast
Shane,
let's just say the wise old man. Who would you put for that?
Wise old man.
Well, it'd be either Michael Gambon or Sir Ian McKellen. So.
Yeah, Gandalf. Gandalf. That'd be him. He would make the beard work. But for me though, Shane, if you were making a movie, what would be the storyline be?
I don't know.
Well, in the past, video games turned into movies have been absolutely god awful terrible. So,
but that's because they're all directed by the same asshole.
Oh yeah, that German dude, right?
Erwin Boll, and
he's
retarded.
I don't know. But, I'm drawing a blank here. So if you guys try and think of anything, if not, I'm gonna.
Well, for me though, I would put my old written story that I put on RuneScape so many years ago, in Return of the Beast, and I'll have King Kula and Shane McClain and Mike Bay. And, I'll have the whole, medieval thing going on with sorcerers and magic. And I think the person who would play the hero, let's see. I don't know. It's kind of hard to do it on the spot like this. But, I'll have Brad be, some young kid. And I'll have Cressella as some maiden who's completely out of his league.
Okay, that's enough of that. Let's you can fill your storyline in later. I want to move on now.
Oh, if she's listening to this right now, she's going to kill me later.
Or we do have that round robin. You could make some sort of movie off of that from some of our writers, doing fiction or something like that.
Yeah.
Because they role play within the RuneScape confines. You could do something with that, I'm sure. Anyhow.
Alrighty, next one is from Aiden.
Ooh.
Hey guys, Aiden here again. This week I have two different kinds of questions. The first question is, what is y'all's favorite summoning familiar and why? My second question would be, what is y'all's favorite food? Thanks and keep up the great show.
So we'll be talking about a dish or an item?
A summoning familiar first.
Alright. Shane, you go first. What's your what is your favorite?
I don't know. I think it would have to be either one of the Titans or just general beast of burden kind of things.
Mm.
Nothing really that special at this point that sticks out for me. So I just like the beast of burdens and the Titans for combat stuff.
I'm not high enough to make any Titan stuff in anything. Anyway. Excuse me. For me, my favorite is the magpie. I love the magpie. Whenever I'm doing something, because it actually it looks for jewelry and gems. So as I'm high alking or doing some filling up herbs, potions or something, I'll get little side cash from all the gems you would get. I got so many diamonds and emeralds and rings of recoil. It's really interesting. It's really nice. It's been really helpful to me.
Okay.
Although, Kala? But then again, I haven't gone to higher ups yet, so who knows?
Well, considering the highest summoning familiar I can do is a wolf, I'll go off the board and say, it's hard to know which one is your favorite due to functionality or which one looks the coolest. I don't know. I'd go with one of the Titans. They look pretty cool. But the spirit birds look kind of cool as well. Yeah, they're probably pretty useless. Usually the ones that look coolest are bad. I don't really...
Oh, the giant ant! It increases fruit tree yields. I'll go with that one.
Wow, that was a change on the fly. Okay, so the second part, what is your favorite food?
Anything kind of spicy-ish, I guess you could say. That does not contain cheese or other lactose-y kind of ingredients.
We need to force some cheese down Shane's throat.
I think that would be criminal, actually. We could force some beer down his throat. That wouldn't be criminal.
that would be a frat party.
Yeah. No, back to the question. Back to the question, though. Mine would probably be spaghetti. I really like making it, and it's pretty good. As long as you put a lot of cheese on it, it's really good that way. No joke. It actually is pretty good. What's yours, Trekkie?
Oh, it's an Asian dish. Beef stew, grandma style. Nothing beats it. Once you tasted the beef, you can never eat another beef the same way again. No, Shane, there is no dog. And if there were dogs in it, those people would be going to jail so fast because it is illegal to eat dog here in the U.S., although it's not illegal to eat it in the Asian countries.
It's called beef stew, not dog stew. Jeez. Yeah.
Although, as a fair warning, if you ever do go over to any Asian countries, never eat lamb.
Why is it not lamb?
I'll leave it up to your imagination.
Okay.
Alrighty, that's it for the audio questions this week, quite a few of them, so those can go to questions@rsbnb.com if you want to email them, or you can call them into the Google Voice number, which is 571-572-2632, and that is an American number, so if you are international, that will cost you something. Alrighty, the first text question. Kala, you want to read it?
This one is from ParkourMan99. Hello, superb Shane and catastrophic Kula and terrific Trekkie. I just added that in. My question this week is, what do you think will happen in the end regarding Libya? Do you think other countries will follow in the revolutionary footsteps of Egypt and Libya? Do you think the leader will win or the people? Thanks, ParkourMan99. Well,
this is...
Yeah. Political. what I think will happen with it is if Gaddafi does what he says he was going to do and he's going to become a martyr for the cause, I think it's already spread, you know. And it didn't even start with Egypt. It started with Tunisia, which people are quick to forget. And then it spread to Egypt, and then it spread elsewhere. And just, I think Libya is getting the most news because, well, it's...
He's being the most forceful.
Exactly. Right. Of course, there were things like the Bahraini army openly firing on peaceful protesters, and other countries where they're trying to crack down as well. But it's already spread to other areas in the Middle East, and I think the interesting thing here is that it's not because these countries are predominantly Muslim. It's because there's no democracies in the Middle East, and I think that's why there's a revolutionary wave where people.
Israel's a
democracy. Kind of.
Iraq is a democracy.
Since Shane went that route, let me ask you this, Mike. How long we've been? Well, about 10 years ago, since we started going into the Middle East, there was a political analyst who also when Iraq started voting, there was a political analyst who actually said, when democracy enters Iraq, it will spread to the surrounding regions because of how different it is and how useful it is and you know, all that kind of stuff. So do you believe us invading Iraq and Afghanistan has played a major part in these revolutions?
Mm-hmm. No, because if you look at those ones, they're still the insurgencies and stuff, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't think if it was to truly play a role like that, I think you'd have a much more stable democracy, you know. And you know, we're not gonna. I think this is all just a little blip in the thing, and I don't think we'll be seeing any kind of major change in this area for a long, long time until somebody decides to go crazy and detonate some nuclear bomb and get the entire region incinerated. But, you know, as we like to say here, the more things change, the more they stay the same.
As you like to say here. it'll be interesting to see what's happened. I mean, it could just become like another country, like, say, Burma, for instance. The popular revolution there really didn't occur. And it's happened so many other places, and it's just been put down. And then people either forget about it or they don't forget about it, but they have to not act on it because they don't have any support. And I think that if the West really doesn't do anything here, I don't think Libya will come to that much. Maybe the guy will get killed. Maybe he won't. Maybe there'll be a really bad ending to this. Maybe it's a happy ending and he eventually resigns. I don't see why that would happen, but it's hard to know what will happen because, for one, the guy is so unstable to begin with, so it's hard to predict exactly what he'll do.
And, you know, we also dropped a couple of bombs on his planes many years back.
Oh, yeah.
Also, with this thing, you got to remember that outright intervention in these kind of conflicts is not ideal, because with that you're creating an outside influence and you're not letting things happen the way they were supposed to happen. It's just like if during the U.S. Civil War, if the British people sent a whole lot of troops down there and pretty much turned it into their war, it would have probably had a different outcome and probably had a different view on it after it was won. So,
yeah, they'd probably invade us afterward.
Yeah, well, why would they do that?
They're already a British colony. There's no point to invade you guys again.
Yeah, but that was the thing. We were still part of Britain, so if they got mad at Britain, they'd just attack us instead. Like, we had anything. Like if we would have anything to do with it anyways, no?
Did you know there was a contingency plan to invade Ottawa and secure Quebec if the Quebec referendum passed in the 1990s.
Oh, that's crazy. I don't see why they want Quebec. It's not because I have anything against Quebec. It's just I don't see why they would want to deal with that. I mean, it just unloads a whole bunch more problems on the States. You guys have enough to deal with right now without having to deal with separatism.
Anyway,
Akula, so. You just hurt somebody's feelings.
Oh, sorry, people from Quebec. I'm from BC. I'm entitled.
If there are any listeners out there from Quebec,
Shane just doesn't endorse what he said.
We're both from Western Canada. We can't be held accountable to our viewpoints.
Alrighty. Thank you, Parkour Man. This next one is from Chris T, or as RuneScape likes to put it when it butchers his name, Christ. Hello to the Swift Shane and Majestic King Kulla and Tenacious Trekkie.
Stop adding that in.
You're casually walking down the street and suddenly from out behind a car you see a man running that looks exactly like you from a distance. You run after to catch up to him, and after you finally catching up to them, throwing yourself on top of him, you realize it is you. What would be your first questions after the knowledge that he is you from the future?
Want to go play StarCraft 2?
Hey man, in the future I got into Platinum League. dude, you suck now, but you'll be good in the future.
Yay! What about Masters?
I'll never be good enough to get into Masters, man. I mean, I've seen how Masters people play. I will never be that good unless I go to Korea.
Or become Korean somehow.
But,
okay. So there's Trekkie's answer.
I'd probably, what I would do.
Sorry.
I'd probably ask, well, how come I was the first to notice you? I mean, you obviously came back for a purpose, and that had something to do with me, so how come you didn't, you know, stop me from doing something? And, you know, why would I be the one to catch you? But, of course, being the rational human being, I would say, what the f- are you doing here? How did you get back here, and why the hell would you do it in the first place? And of course, then we'd have a lovely chat on, you know, space-time continuum and
the paradoxes and all that good stuff.
Yeah, and then he'd also tell me what happens in the future and if we really are alone in the universe.
and all those other
wonderful questions that we haven't figured out yet, and we'd have a lovely chat, and then we'd
the second question I would ask my future self is: does Shane ever get a girlfriend? Or a boyfriend, I don't know.
I'd rather ask if I give her a girlfriend again. Are you married in the future self?
Okay. But
what would be your answer, Shane?
As a question, I guess, would be what do I need to watch out for the next X amount of years so I can steer clear of and try to prevent certain things from happening?
What stock should I invest in?
Well, no, just like what do I need to do to what do I need to do to make things like nice and simple, you know? Like, do I like it, like for career choices and that kind of thing? And what do I do to make sure that people around me are going to stay around me, and is there anything I can do to make sure that they're going to still be there and that kind of thing, and make sure that everything else is going to work out okay for everybody, that kind of thing.
So that's way more practical. That's a good thing to do. But yeah, what stocks to buy, that would also be pretty good.
Alrighty. Thank you, Chris, Turt, Trekkie, next one.
Okay, this question is from Reganeth. Hello, Super Smashing Shane and King Kula. Have either of you ever stayed in a hotel before? If so, what was your worst experience staying in one? Second question, do you think there would be any way of incorporating RuneScape or other MMOs into a real job and making real money, other than working for the company, the good way, or real world trading with items and money in the game, the bad way?
You could write game reviews.
Well, for Guild Wars, the game that I play, they actually have a big tournament once in a while, in PvP tournament. And ArenaNet, the creator of the game, actually give out prizes and cash money. So in theory, you really can make a living playing video games and MMOs, because if you get yourself good enough, you really can profit from it. Because people would endorse you and invest in you and all that kind of stuff.
And yeah. I know that in StarCraft you can have the if you're really good at playing StarCraft, then yeah, you can make a living playing video games. But if you're not even that good and you're just really enthusiastic about it, you could create something like, say, well, in StarCraft you can become a caster and you can, you know, comment on games. I don't know if how you could incorporate that into RuneScape, but there's got to be some popular RuneScape celebrity channels out there on YouTube, and they get a lot of views and they make money that way, you know.
Yeah, that's true, through the YouTube partner accounts and stuff. That's always something too, you know. But you know, if you're doing that kind of thing, you got to do it in multiple places. It's just like if you want to be a professional podcaster, you have to have multiple podcasts and stuff. You can't just have one and let that drive you, unless it's a really, really strong one or something, you know. So
like this one.
I'd say that this is moderate at best.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty.
In the RuneScape world, though, it's probably one of the best, but in the podcast world...
Longest running. Only ever missed 3 weeks.
Because you were sick that week, wasn't it?
Yeah, then 1 week we went away, and I forget what happened the other week. I think it was a technical issue. But anyways, hotel before? If so, what is your worst experience? Always. Always hotels. And always some kind of bad experience.
I think the hotel I stayed in one time, the shower thing wasn't working. It was actually more dripping than giving me a shower.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. We were staying there for like one night, and I was like, you know what? When we leave to other places, I'm going to shower over there because this is ridiculous. So I'll just go to my towel, wash my face and neck, and do a little face wash cream, and yeah, I'll take a good, decent, a full shower in some other time.
I remember this one time I was, in fact, the only times I ever stay on hotels is when I'm on the way to Alberta. And one of these times we decided not to stop halfway where we usually do, but instead push on and go a bit further and stop at a different city. And we get there at like 9 p.m. at night, and we're kids, so we're all, you know, really tired. And we...
Which place was the stop?
Jasper. Which is pretty small to begin with, so there's not too many choices for hotels. So we got the last one that's actually open and has room, and it's got the last room, and it's so god-awful terrible, like, and, it was bad. But there was another time where we were actually in a pretty good hotel, but they actually put us in the wrong room. They gave us the wrong room keys and put in this wrong room. So once we opened the door, there were already people inside.
Oh.
So then we had to go all the way back down to the bottom floor with all of our stuff, and then had to go all the way back up, and we decided that we were actually next to them. So that was also pretty bad. That was also a late at night one. But yeah, not too many good experiences with hotels, because you never get the best sleep possible because you're not.
Yeah, that's my problem. That's my problem there. And all the noise and stuff, you know, and the air quality. I have a really, really finicky nose, and if the air quality is not perfect, my nose blocks up completely, and I cannot sleep.
For me, it's usually the 1 millimeter thick blankets.
Oh yeah, the sheets.
It's like it's not even a sheet. It's like a piece of paper.
There was this one it was just some random place we ended up. It was late at night, coming your way there, Kala. It was late, and you know, the only, like, it was just a matter of finding one, and we of course knew this was in Vancouver, and you know, you it's a big city, and you don't know what areas are bad and what areas are good and everything. But this turned out to be right downtown in New Westminster, which turns out to be one of the worst areas of Vancouver.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you don't want to end up there.
Yeah, so the hotel was equally on par with the neighborhood.
Yeah. I could only imagine.
So, anyways, that's that. Thank you, Regnant. This last one is pronounced J. Mycini.
Mycini, huh.
Yes. Dear Shane, Kula, and Trekkie, I've been trying to contrive the most efficient way to use Beasts of Burden for resource-converting activities such as charging air orbs or using the sawmill to convert planks or logs. It is inefficient to fill the Beast of Burden entirely because then you would have to drop some items in order to have the finished items in your inventory with the ones being held by the Beast of Burden. It seems efficient to fill the Beast of Burden halfway and simply make one switch. However, this makes me feel like I'm wasting more space because I just tried leaving 3 to 4 spaces open, but then I have to switch items because between your inventory and the Beast of Burden, Beast's many clicks are as necessary. This time could just be as well spent going back to the bank for another load. Hope Have you figured out the fastest way to do this? Please share your thoughts.
Not use it.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this. Let's say you're doing a tortoise and you have your 27 inventory slots plus your 18 in the tortoise. That gives you 45 to work with. And so you don't want to, as he says, you don't want to take 45 logs, because if you take 45, you'll have to drop some. So I don't know. It's hard to say what would be ideal.
I actually tried this a while back for my gold crafting. I had my terror bird and I was trying it. You know, I filled it halfway because I can't fill it up all the way anyway. And, you know, to be honest, it actually felt like I was taking longer because I have to keep opening it and taking it and all that kind of stuff. So I just left it. And after that, it just felt more streamlined. If you had the yak, maybe it would be a lot better because, you know, the yak gives so much more space.
Yeah, the yak is practically double the inventory spots.
Yeah, and you can also, use the whole this special ability to send stuff straight to the bank. And if you're in Edgefield, there's a summoning stone right next to you anyway. It could make it a little more practical, but still, it's, you know, not, you're really better off just finding, just going to some place, find some other way. And just doing it by yourself, okay. And have a magpie.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of what the best way of doing this would be, because it does make sense what you're saying there. It would be nice if you could have a streamlined way so that it would just do it and you wouldn't have to do the whole shuffling of inventory things. But over time, lots of clicking is bad for you. So you convert the first load. And then let's say you leave your tortoise half full, and then you dump those out, then you pull more out, do those, and then dump half again. That's the best way I could do it, using the take beast of burden click option on the orb there. So that's the best solution I have. Yes,
cool.
My name is pronounced J-My-C-Ni. This is my first initial J, followed by the name of the ancient Greek civilization, Mycenae. I like history. Kala, did you know that?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's why I said good. Mycenae in the Mycenae. The beginning.
Yeah, J Mycenae. Yeah, it's from, it's also, I believe it's in Civilization 3, actually. They also have, you can have the option of playing as Mycenae in ancient Greek world, which is pretty cool. Yeah, I also knew about it from before, from studying ancient Greece. Pretty cool. I love history as well, so good work,
Jay Mycenae. We're all a nerd buffs over here, so. Yeah. I mean, you ask some guy from LA to be like, Maya what?
Alrighty, that's it for questions this week. Moving on to the tech news of the week right now. So, first up, iPad 2.
Let's see. I saw a Twitter post. It said they That was really funny. It said, the iPad 2 is so great that it's improved on everything except for its own name.
What's wrong with the name?
The iPad. I don't know.
They called them pads on Star Trek.
I guess so. I don't know. I don't really have any thoughts on it. I'm not really the expert on the Apple iPad. It's a good niche product if you want to use it for what it's designed for.
I still don't think it's a niche product.
I think it is.
I
think if the price point was $200 lower, I think everybody would have one.
Nah, not right away. So.
iPod. It's not like the iPod where, you know, it's become the mainstream thing of the of that
2000.
Certain group of technology. Yeah.
You know, the iPad looks...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, for me, though, I think the iPad looks great, you know, but I just can't get worse. I just have no reason to get it. I have my laptop, I have my desktop, and, you know, I have my Android phone. And, you know, if I take my iPad out everywhere and freeze it, I'll drop it and it'll break. I was like, oh, crap. I mean, I went to Macworld. There were more cases than an iPad and iPhone combined. Here, put the
here's
yeah.
Well,
case
that, that's one thing that this is the first thing on the iPad features list. It's the case, this magnetic case that goes over it, and it puts the thing to sleep when it's on it. Or it's not even a case; it's just a cover.
Oh, you know what? The funniest thing ever when I was in Macworld, they gave me a booklet, a catalog for all the stuff you can buy for iPad, iPhone, Mac computers, all that stuff. And some of the there was a portfolio case for the MacBook. I mean, not MacBook, for the iPad, which looked really nice. It was just like a mini binder where you can slip in your iPad in and your business cards and whatnot for about like $98. It looked really nice. It was just not worth $98. But the second thing, what I loved the most was the Wi-Fi indicator. Spend $89 to buy this device, and you will finally figure out how much money you are wasting in Wi-Fi. So you basically pay. I can't make this up. I cannot make this up. You will spend $89 to find out that you are using 24 cents in Wi-Fi energy.
Okay. Yeah, that's really useful. But I want to talk about – we should be talking about iPad 2 right now. Well, there's not much to say except for the fact that it's thinner. It has a camera. It's more powerful. And it comes in white. That's really the only differences with it. I think if you have a first generation iPad, you can skip this version. But if you have been wanting an iPad, there's no better time to buy one.
Wait till iPad
Actually,
3 comes
right
out.
Right now, because, well, yeah, you could wait for iPad 3. That would probably be the main release kind of thing. Because the original iPad 1 right now is $100 discounted right now. So, good time to buy an iPad.
I wonder if they'll come out with an iPad mini.
That's called the iPhone.
I know, Shane. It was a joke.
We know.
Shane didn't. I still think there's a few limited uses for it, and if you use it for those uses, then great, it's the thing for you. But most people, I don't think, would need to use it. I think that still qualifies it as a niche product. It's for people. It's good for people that are on the go, you know, like on planes a lot, so they're just carrying it around with you. They travel a lot, or you know, they're in business, so they have to type things up every now and again, just like they used to do with, you know, just like they could use with their BlackBerry. It's just a bit easier, probably. So, I don't know.
With this, also, it's a very nice device for just a little on the couch computer. Like if you need to look something up while you're watching TV or something, or even content creation for kids and stuff. It's a good way of it's a good education device too. So it's got lots of good use cases behind it. But we should move on to the next tech story here, being that Android. It's an Android story in relation to a few little stray applications that have been contaminated by viruses. That these were actually in the Android App Store, but this is just a kind of, I guess, a little warning message because it doesn't even affect the current version of Android OS. So if you're all updated and everything, you should be fine. But if you're on an older version, definitely always make sure you know what you're installing and make sure you're not going to get bit by anything. Just practice safe computing.
And also keep in mind, AVG also made a free antivirus for the Android phone. How good it is,
really?
I don't know. Yeah, there is. Really? You look in the Android market, there is an antivirus. There are a couple, actually. How good they are is, God, you know, up to each person to decide.
See, this is the good thing about iOS. You don't need virus scanners like that. Viruses can't get into the App Store.
Apparently they did, didn't they?
Not really.
They were
that
just
was just a phishing thing, exploiting stupid users. Oh, relating to this, I see. Yeah, these were just written in, downloaded 200,000 times.
What was?
Apparently. So.
Yeah.
The application with the virus is in it.
Okay.
More than 50 apps and downloaded up to 200,000 times. I don't think that's just a few stupid users. I think that's.
No, I was saying it was a few stupid users the only time the iPhone was thought to have some kind of virus thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, this, that 200,000 is not a few. There's probably no way to tell with this, so I don't know, even with the official one. That raises a whole other problem with Android, so I don't know. Trekkie, do you use any applications on it?
Yeah, I do. Well, some video games, some applications that I use to make my life a little bit easier, like a little, there's in, let's see, what do I have on there? Most of them are video games anyway. I have a text messaging thing that pops up. Yeah, I have Angry Birds, season and the regular poker game. What's the one that I always end up using? Something with an S. SMS pop-up.
Yeah, so,
it's, that's my favorite
but
one.
But no viruses in those, probably not, right?
I hope not. If there is, I'm screwed. But I don't think so. I rarely download anything new, and usually the ones that are I download, they mostly have like really good reviews and stuff like that. Pandora is another one that I use on my phone.
Yeah,
that's about it.
The new Android OS coming out is called Honeycomb. Gingerbread, the current one, is not affected by this, so just update if you're having the problem.
Yeah, I think I'll update it. Should do anyways.
Yeah,
but some people like to jailbreak stuff, so.
That's an Apple term.
Hey, people jailbreak Android
already.
Phones.
Next up, Google self-driving car. Kala, you can explain this one. You were the one that pointed this out to me.
Oh, yeah, it's pretty cool. So apparently Google's been working on this for the past few months. And basically they showed it off on at the TED conference, which is a pretty big conference. And so they let people inside and they filmed it. And this car, like, going up to, what would be the conversion? It could go up to, I think they were doing maybe 60 to 70 kilometers an hour. That would probably be about 40 to 50 miles per hour.
Yeah. That's about right.
Around there. And they were just going around, swerving around these traffic pylons and concrete barriers. And the car was doing it all on its own. It could sensor right through concrete blocks. And it was pretty cool. And they've... In the link that shall be in the show notes, it'll have a few videos of it. It's pretty cool how while we may not have robots, we have cars that can drive themselves.
Yeah, this is all going to be okay and everything until there's a crash or something, you know.
No, until a virus hits all the cars and all the cars going to start going crazy.
And they start killing us and everything, yeah.
It's what's that one? I can't remember. There was a one old movie where like cars became very evil. You know, like Futurama did a parody of it a long time ago. Oh, can't remember.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember what it is though. That's
like
that's
you know the killer cars. No. Although I would suggest that car that can drive by itself, please have the unplug thing really close at hand.
Yeah, the option to switch to manual driving, that would be nice.
Yeah. Then you get the asshole who drives like 97 miles an hour when everybody is supposed to go at 60. No, he's honking at everybody.
Yeah.
You have the one old lady who's driving 30 miles an hour when you're on the freeway.
Oh yeah.
I don't trust the computer, but it's really hard to see when my eyes are like not even above the steering wheel.
Yeah. Bad drivers are universal.
Yeah. Alrighty, well I think that is it for tech news this week. We will be moving on to
March skill of the month March. Update, the February winner.
Yes. I've linked to March 2010. That's why the month is complete. I was wondering what was wrong with the graph.
Only Shane can do something like this. You know that?
Just change one
All
number.
All right, this looks better. March 2011. Okay. Currently in first place for the summoning skill of the month is One Stone Pwn, 91.5k. XP gained. Second is Brian B with 71.5k. And third is Yakanta with 66.8k XP gained.
I think it'll look a lot after the bonus XP weekend.
Well, no, it's only 1.1 times for summoning. It doesn't get the full treatment.
Oh, hey, but people might still do it.
Yeah, you know people will do it near the end when their summoning bonus was all gone. You know, extra 10% is still better than regular. That's one less pouch to make.
And especially when you can do it so fast. All at once, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah. All right. And February was Agility. Adaron Cronon continued his win, as expected. 19.46 million XP gained in February, while a second-place person, RS Gamer, got 2.7 million XP gained. And Minas199307 took 2.1 million XP. So, quite a big difference there.
He had about two-thirds of the total amount, almost by himself.
Yeah, I know, more than half of the total Agility XP gain. So,
I wonder how he got through the mind-numbing experience of Agility training.
He's probably one of those crazy guys that actually likes Agility.
I didn't mind it at the end when I was doing it. I got into a nice routine.
Yeah.
Kill all humans?
No. No, but anyways, so that'll be that. Only 20 people signed up for this summoning one, so it should be interesting to see what happens on bonus XP weekend.
Mm. So the new one, so the March one's going to be a summoning, right?
Yeah, March is summoning. The March skill of the month is summoning.
Okay, just double checking. Yes. Yeah, I'm not even going to bother. That's
it's kind of funny because March 2010 was also summoning.
And September 2010 was also summoning when we had bonus XP weekend.
Three times.
Regardless
during...
of this, this is random. This is random. We're not choosing these skills.
Supposedly we have a little computer program that chooses it every month. It just happens to hit summoning every time. Just a triple weekend. There's a bonus weekend. I think your program may be conspiring with RuneScape, dude. I mean, you know, think about it. After a summoning got the nerf bat, it's always been summoning.
It's a sentient machine that can think for itself.
Okay. With that said, Colin, I want you to read the Informer Roundup for February, in which we discuss what happened that month. And if you haven't been keeping up on the articles, you can go take a read through them and enjoy them. And maybe learn something.
We write them for you, after all.
Well, we don't write them. The writers do.
Yeah. Well, you do. I don't. We as a newspaper staff crew, we...
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I was meaning.
All right. Another interesting RuneWire post. I don't know why I just decided to keep going with this. So I put in another RuneWire quote of the day. And once again, this is from Leo, third time in a row. I don't know what that means, but it's this little picture that teaches you how to... text in class when you're not supposed to be texting. I've never seen this one before, so I figured that's why I'd put this in.
Oh, I see what you mean. Never mind.
Yeah. You ever do that?
Well, somehow he has three hands, so I don't know. Oh, I see what you mean. Right? Never mind. I get it. Exactly. I got it.
There you go.
But then again, I rarely wear a coat anyway, and so I really don't care. I could never do it. I never wear a coat unless it's like pure raining hell.
Well, yeah, because you're in California and don't need coats.
Maybe I'm in San Francisco where I can get cold as hell, but just because of the snow.
Anyhow, I thought it was okay. A pretty funny
Your
picture
pick.
As well.
Let's go before we wreck this any further. Your pick.
Wreck it any further. My pick is the credits theme from Mass Effect. Those of you who've played Mass Effect might have known this before, that it is actually a very, very good game. And then once you get to the very climax battle at the very end, and then the game ends, and then the credits come up. And I swear it's the first time you want to sit through 9 minutes of credits, because the song that accompanies it is really, really good. It's called M4 Part 2 by Fonts. And Fonts is an indie rock band from, Edmonton. And
really?
Yes. Well, BioWare is also from Edmonton, right? So they have 9 minutes of the song, but they also have a music video, which is an edited version. It's not as good, but the music video itself is good. Ow.
Okay. And this is from Mass Effect. And is it legal to play this, or I don't know?
Oh, it's from YouTube. They're indie. I'm sure you won't get in trouble with any record companies.
Yeah, that's true.
It's okay. And, you know,
oh, there's words to it. Okay.
Oh yeah, they sing.
Well, we'll save that for the listeners to go and listen to later on. So.
Mm-hmm. It's a good song. I really like it, and I've actually been playing it quite a bit over the past couple months. So if you like that kind of rock, then go for it. That's my pick.
Okie dokie. And achievements of the week, only one this week. Dragonkin 892-99 woodcutting on February 27th.
Yay, congratulations Dragonkin 829. I mean, 892. Sorry about that. That was a stupid Asian moment. So, congrats, Joe. I wish I could get 99 woodcutting, but I'm too freaking lazy. Okay.
Okay, so let's start with Trekkie. What have you been doing this week?
I just came back from a little trip to Los Angeles with my uncle. Came back. I made 500... Dragonstone glory amulets before the price on it just crashed like hell. Still managed to make a profit on it, which was nice. And other than that, I'm just preparing, getting second ingredients for Herblore, because I'm going to train that over the weekend. Still doing that right now, literally. Okay.
Okay. And me? Well, I had reading break last week, so I was off for quite a while, so it was quite a transition to come back into school this week, which totally messed up with my sleeping schedule. And anyhow, what have I been doing? I've been playing Dragon Age Origins quite a bit, which is a fun RPG game if you're into that sort of thing. You know, fantasy, you know, mage spells and rogues and warriors and that sort of thing. And any description I give will never give anything justice. So let's just say it's another good game by BioWare. What else have I been doing? Not too much. I get to write a term paper on my electoral constituency, and the teacher that I'm doing it for is going to be one of the candidates in the next election.
Is that good?
So I have to
federal, provincial.
So I basically have to talk about what will federal. I have to basically talk about what will happen, and it's going to be funny because what will happen is he might get elected to it, and he's also ran in the constituency before in 2006. So I actually have to get my stuff really, really good. And, you know, write really well. But I think that'll be good because it'll actually push me to do a better job on the term paper. But I think it's really interesting that I could write about something like that.
Is that the Keith Martin guy?
It's in that district. He's actually not seeking re-election, so it's actually going to make it even more interesting.
Okay, which one is this one running for?
He's running for the NDP. He's a teacher. Oh, of course he's going to be for the NDP.
Yeah, of course.
Doesn't mean he isn't a good teacher. Huh?
Okay.
But, and what else have I been doing? Really not that much. Nerd stuff. Nerdy, what about you, Shane?
This week has been primarily a coding week of various things. Can't say much about it. Just one of the things, check my signature on the forums, and you'll see kind of what it, one of the things I've been working on. I threw that signature together in literally less than 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, it showed because it didn't work the first time.
Okay.
But yeah, it's really about it. Getting ready, of course, for the bonus XP weekend. Still deciding what I'm going to do, either Hunter or Runecrafting. And of course, while doing that, I've been farming my herbs to make profit, because as we all know, the herbs are going up, so I need to sell those.
Mm. Yeah. What's your hunting and Runecrafting level, Shane?
83 and 80, respectively.
Too bad the Abyss is no longer real as viable as it used to be. You go in there, you probably have some jerk ancient guy who's going to freeze you and steal your glory amulet.
Yeah, well, I think that's it for this episode of RSBNB Update 298. Somebody will be back next week to do this show. I don't know if I'll be back, but somebody will be here doing this show. So somebody will see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
You don't know if you'll be back? You'll always be back.
Potentially, you never know.
You never know. That's right. We could all be killed by a flaming asteroid tomorrow. Who knows?
I wonder. Okay. Awkward.
And on that note, goodbye, everyone.